So we begin to come to this area. An angel of the Lord said, we're going through that fire. You may go through some fire down here, but you're really going through the fire when you get up there. After we got through the fire, we saw heaven's gate, so the outer perimeter, the outer gate. And on the outer gate, we didn't have to knock to come in. We didn't have to go and beg to come in. We didn't have to go and say, we're here, please, we're here. You know one thing about it, if you're somewhere you don't have to announce yourself, God will announce you. He'll do it. God will do the announcing. You don't have to say, I'm George Brown from Kalamazoo. I get up here and here I'm here. If they get here, they'll soon find out if you're here. Hallelujah! Glory! Woo! So then, the gate opened wide. Big, wide gates. Wide. And the three of us went in the gate. When we went inside the gate, there was the outer perimeter full of souls that had not been able to speak God's language. They were out there learning to speak to God. They were learning to speak to God. They had been washed in the blood, but hadn't been educated in God's language yet. You better get educated in God's language, because you're going to have to speak a different language when you get up there. You won't speak Hindu or English, French or Russian. You'll speak God's language that comes out of your belly. For out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. And that's that living water. Brother, if you ever get an intercession, get to praying. And get praying out of your belly, you'll speak in God's language. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Out of your belly. That's what my brother was speaking, out of his belly tonight. Not out of the head, but out of the heart. Different. Different. Altogether different. Then, second set of gates opened. Second set, gates all around. We went in the front end. God took us in the front end. The front end. When we stood there in amazement, there was the great throne of God, and God on the throne, and Jesus sitting on his right hand. There he was. And the first one that I got acquainted with was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. You know, I couldn't understand it why that Paul would make footprints in the gold. I couldn't, because that gold's hard. Well, I never made a footprint up there. I couldn't understand it. He explained to me, he says, when I come here, the gold was still hot, and it was still melting, and like concrete, and hadn't set yet. That's why I made those marks. There's answers, all things. All things. And I talked to Paul, what a man. He told me all about whether he's married, not married, and everything. I've answered all those questions in my mind. And then the next one I went over to was to see Abraham. And I said, Abraham, could talk. He said, talk to me, that's all right. Abraham, how long have you been here? And he said, a day. I said, almost 2 days. He said, that's right. That's how time goes in heaven. A day is 1,000 years with the Lord. And God's heaven speaks in thousands. The word thousand is from the Bible. And the word thousands is in heaven. So God's one day is 1,000 earthly days. God's day is one. Just think of the great mind of God, how great it is, and how great is God. Can know every hair upon your head. And a day with God is just 1,000 earthly days. So then we're almost at the end of that second day. And Jesus is going to break the eastern skies. He's going to come. Be ready. He's coming soon. Be ready. He's coming. Break the eastern skies. He's coming. And this earth is going to rock and reel. How's that rock and reel going to take place? And how is the earth going to be all tumbling out of its axis and rock under the power of God? Before I meet Jesus, And before I meet my mother, I want to tell you how that's all going to happen. During this 5.5 days in heaven, we walked over to the River of Life. And I said, how long is this river? 2,000 miles. There goes the word thousand again. 2,000 miles long. And it hooked up right under the throne of God, right alongside of the brazen altar, and then the golden altar. The golden altar and the brazen altar are two different. The golden altar and the altar under the throne of God is where the ones have been martyred. But then he said to me, this river's overflowing. And you see those floodgates there, Percy? Yeah? Let's walk over and see the floodgates. That was during the time in heaven. And those big floodgates was just a trembling and shaking under the... And there's floodgates in heaven. Holding back... What do you need floodgates in heaven for? Holding back the river of life. It's been filling up. And it's a river, I'm telling you. It's quite a ways across it because we walked across. We're going to take you across that tonight. And I found everything I saw in the Bible. I've got scriptures and scriptures and scriptures written out that's going in my book of what I saw and what they told me in heaven. And he said, Jesus said, not very long, Percy. That river is going to get clear to the top, and it's almost to the top. And when it does, it's going to open up, and that power of God, that Spirit, that river, going to pour down upon this earth all around it like honey around a apple. And it's going to shake and rock and reel, and it's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. And there's going to be terrible, terrible shaking of the earth. And the earth's going to open up wide, and the bodies are coming out of those graves. And in the twinkling of an eye. You can see a wink, but you can't see a twink. It's not in the winking of an eye. It's in the twinkling of an eye. And these bodies are going to come. Oh, what a time. What a time. Going up and meeting your soul in the air. Going up. Going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. That's what's going to be, a meeting in the air. And you know who's coming out of heaven to meet us? Jesus, the bridegroom. We're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw his crown. And the church is going to crown him. And they're going to bring that city four square. All the way. Can you imagine God powerful enough to pick up a building 1,500 miles square, cubic miles, pick it up, bring it out of heaven, and set it down in the outer space? And we're going to occupy it and go and ride her right back into heaven. We're going to set it right back in place. And I saw the temple. Jerusalem. Though that whoever wrote that song must have seen heaven. And there, Jerusalem, beside the temple stood. Jerusalem. And I stood at the side of the Taj Mahal in India. I had tea with the Queen. I visited the palaces of this earth. I have visited some of the most fantastic places. And the temple that Solomon built must have been some temple. He's building that temple again. He's building it spiritually in the hands and the precious people. And I saw the 12 gates that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a temple that the gates across it are 120 miles wide across the front of it and 1,000 feet deep facing the throne of God and full of people. Can you imagine those daughters of Jerusalem and the daughters of where these people come from, your Bible school, and the daughters of the Bible school dancing together in heaven and shaking their tambourines before God, and dancing before God. That's what's happening in heaven. Better learn to dance down here, because they're sure of dancing up there. Then, as we wonderfully and preciously walked and saw Moses, I was preaching to a blessed group of Jewish people talking about heaven. And this Jewish girl come up and she said to me, "Did you see my Moses?" I said, "Yes, I saw your Moses. What was my Moses doing?" I said, "Talking to Jesus." Talking to Jesus. And then, hallelujah. And then, as we were, praise the Lord, going through heaven, here came my mother, hand in hand with the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, walking hand in hand with my mother. I tell you, she brought the mother of Jesus and introduced Mary, the mother of Jesus, to her son. To her son. And then, my mother would never have danced a lick when she was on this earth. Never. She's one of those holy Baptists with her dress up here and dress clear down to her ankles and sleeves. She was a holy Baptist, but she was a holy woman. She still had the Baptist Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But she thought it was sin to go down to the corner dance hall. Never did. She thought it was sin to smoke a cigarette or drink a drop of whiskey. So she taught me not to do it. You know, the first thing she said to me after loving me, hugging me, and after I hugged Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, "Percy, let's go and have a dance." It completely changed her. And we go out there on the sea of glass, and that's also 1,500 flat miles square. And the three of us got on the sea of glass, and I'll tell you, we cut a rug all the way across that 1,500 miles, flat nothing. And I mean, we was going around and around and around and around, though. We got clear to the other side. And we saw the crystal sea. That's different than the sea of glass. Just far as you can see, crystal sea. Can you begin to figure the giganticness of heaven? How great is heaven? How great is our God? And how great is His name? Then I went inside the temple to sit down. And the seats in the temple are all 14 karat gold. Can you imagine what's in that temple? No wonder. Isn't it nice to have a little gold on you? Just a little foretaste of heaven. Man, I'd like to have about 20 big strings around me. Put it all around me. Gold represents God and heaven. Gold. And the gold upon this earth and the cattle upon 1,000 hills and all the silver and all of it belongs to God, and it all belongs to the church. Every bit of it belongs to us. It's ours. God is a God of abundance, not a God of poverty. If you went to heaven, you see how great and how rich heaven is. How rich is heaven? And diamonds. Can you imagine? About maybe 30, 40, I can't measure, metric tons of diamonds just stacked up there that God's created for Jesus to stud the entrance to the mansions. Diamonds. Can you imagine pearls, sapphires, and all kinds of beautiful stones in heaven? God's got them all. And just to put a few on down here represents heaven. When you put a diamond on you, you're just representing heaven. That's all. Just a little bit of heaven on your finger, that's all. That's what it is. Don't reject those old fogey ideas. I remember they told me the first time I looked at television, don't look at that television, it's going to get you into hell. And I'm telling you, I've just been on that television, look at it, but I don't look at that old naked stuff. I look at the John Osteen on there. I looked at Brother Kenneth Copeland on there. Well, I was in a church in Bakersfield, California, in the pastor's study. And here come Kenneth right in that study. He said, we got to go in. I said, can I stay another couple of minutes? Oh, we got to get in there. And he was just a preaching of praying for the sick there. That's what we're using, those facilities to get the gospel out. Use everything you can get a hold of to get the gospel out. I'll tell you, I've got a limo, and I'm using it for God, and I'm not ashamed of it. I've got a big limo. And it's paid for. Thank God it's all paid for. You know Red Mullinex down, you ask him, it's all paid for. I bought it, and hallelujah, got a limo. Glory to God, I'm not riding in an old broke-down Chevrolet anymore. I'm not riding an old Plymouth anymore. I'm up with God's people riding in a limo. Woo! We're coming up in the world. Hallelujah. And we're greater than the old sinners. You watch. It's there. And I got a chauffeur. Oh, my. Stand up. Here you are. Stand up. There's my chauffeur. God bless him. And Johnny has the Holy Ghost. And he speaks in tongues. And every once in a while we stop the chauffeur and say, Johnny, I love you. Isn't that good? Hallelujah! Woo! So then, in heaven, Jesus said, I'm going to take you up before my Father. 2,000 miles again. I want a 2,000 miles. Mean something. Watch out. At the end of this 2 days, Jesus is going to break the eastern skies. That'll be 2,000 earthly days and just 2 days with God. And it was just 2 steps up before the throne of God. I stepped 1,000 miles at a time, just 2 steps, and there I was up before God. You try and step 1,000 miles at one time. You'll sure need something different than the pair of legs you got down here. And Jesus went up with me. And he said, my father, Percy, my brother. Jesus, our elder brother. And Jesus, now this was not the body of Jesus. This was, Jesus can be everywhere at one time. He did not leave his father's throne. But this was the spirit. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But yet he has a body. Jesus is also, like his Father, as a body, and also he is a spirit. The Holy Ghost as a body, and also is a spirit. God is a spirit, and God is a God of love. So then he told me, I was faithful, told me, and Jesus interpreted his words to me. I was coming back to the earth to tell the message of heaven to every nation under heaven. To every kindred, tongue, and nation. And I got good eyes. I got a good, strong body. I can do a cartwheel now. God's put strength in my arms. I wasn't too strong before I went to heaven. I had bald-headed back there, and he fixed that back in the jungles. Did all these things. He's really fixed me up with a good body, good heart. And I know I got a good soul because I've seen my soul. Then, walking through heaven with Jesus. Walking through heaven with Jesus. With Jesus. My, 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 will blow your mind. I saw one of the popes up there, and I couldn't believe it for a while. Hallelujah. And I saw people up there that I was sure they'd never make it down here, but they did. One preacher, I thought he was the meanest preacher you ever saw. And he believed in knocking the gospel into you. And he slapped me one time on the side of my face, and he says, you get the Holy Ghost. And slapped me in my teddy. He made me go and do it, but he was pretty strong with his slaps. But he was there. He was there. If I hadn't got slapped that time, maybe I wouldn't have gone and got in the back of that sawdust and started speaking in tongues along with an Indian lady and a missionary to Africa by the name of Sullivan, a converted Catholic, a missionary to the Congo, one on one side of the other. Said, you're getting the Holy Ghost. Didn't say it. Said, you're getting the Holy Ghost. Percy, you're getting the Holy Ghost. And I got, I'll tell you, when I spoke in tongues that in that tent made it, Johnny, I went out there, laid my hands on several women, and they jumped up speaking in tongues. Been seeking the Holy Ghost for years. So then back in heaven, Jesus said, took me into the banqueting house. There's all kinds of scriptures of the banquet house in heaven, just not one. Search your Bible and you find it. So took me to the side of the city, of the great city four square, stands 500 miles high on the temple. Because the temple's 1,000 miles high, 1,000 miles deep, and 120 feet of doors alone, just 120 miles of doors alone. Can you imagine a temple? The door got 120 miles of doors in front of it, and all studded with pearls and diamonds. Boy, what a tabernacle that is. What a temple that is. What a temple that is. Sitting inside with my mother and the mother of Jesus, sitting in the temple of God, sitting the temple of God. Is with you here tonight. The temple of God is with man. The temple of God is with man. Hallelujah! The temple of God is with man. Then praise His holy name. Jesus began to instruct me. He took me and sat me on the seat of love. And you know one of the most wonderful things is? Preach love. This message of the last day says to one another, I love you, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. That is the message today, is to love the brethren, to love one another as Jesus loved you. I got scriptures on that in here. I'll get a mimeograph copy of these scriptures. Give them out where you can get them, because it'll take me 2 hours to read them all. So then I'm sitting on the seat of love at the left hand of God. Left hand of God is just like a great big fan of beautiful silken feathers. And His hands holds those silken feathers. And He looked over at Jerusalem and He said, O Jerusalem that killest the prophet, how oft would I have gathered thee, the hen does her brood. And God has that beautiful, beautiful left hand. His right hand is the hand of authority, and His left hand is the hand of love. And under God's left hand, I sat on the seat of authority, the seat of wisdom, the seat of knowledge, and the seat of administration. Why did I sit on those seats? Because I must have wisdom and understanding and knowledge and administration to be able to take this message around the world. I've got to have wisdom to do it. I cannot just do it, blur, 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 and I'm gone. There's got to be a real reality to it. And set up properly, we've got it set up properly. Already we've got Italy. Got a bad man converted, and he's going to take it to Italy. Got him converted. If you just get the bad man converted, and they'll turn the money over to you quicker than these rich bankers will. Boy, those rich bankers will hang on to it. But you get these, you get somebody, you get the mafia converted. They got billions of it. They'll turn it all over to us, because the money belonging to the crooks and to the worldly is coming into the hands of the righteous. Hallelujah! You're going to have lots of money, lots of it, billions. I said billions. Won't go in that tonight, but that's heaven. That's where I sat, and the seat of love. And I tell you, people before I left kind of wondered about it, but it doesn't wonder about anybody more. I love them all. You see the difference? It's brought love into my heart. And I'll tell you one thing, you get the feet of love in the Spirit, and you get the rest of them. Just get their feet, and you don't have to start doctrine with them. You just teach love to them, put their feet down in, get their feet down in it. They're going to really get all the way in. And then, after that, I went under the altar of God where the martyrs was to have fellowship with them. And I saw we have had quite a few killed for the gospel in South America. The three Freds killed. And several martyred down. Just martyred. By who? By the devil. That's all does that. You can't put your finger on whether communists or what. They're all the devil if they do that. Plus plainly the devil. That's right. They're killing right now around the world. And there they were under the altar of God. Their souls praying, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Will it be before we're avenged of our enemies?" There's prayer going under the altar of God. Then also beside that, hallelujah, Jesus took me over to the brazen altar, and He showed me how the river of life became powerful. That river of life comes out from under the altar, and a part of it flows over the brazen altar, and a part over it, over the golden altar. And it causes like an incense, and that goes up over the head of God. And there the head of God is just like the most glorious incense. Then that brazen altar was so much fire. If you can look at around 1,000 miles square of fire, so hot that it's white hot, so hot that it's white hot. And Jesus walked me up to the fire and says, "Not going to burn you, Percy. Not going to burn you." And walked up right to that fire. It felt so good. Turned around, got my back warmed. Fire. That's hot. That's hot fire. And you'll never, no fire will burn you up in heaven. Burn you up down here. And then I looked and walked to the brazen altar. Jesus picked up a coal, and that brazen altar is just as hot. White hot from heat. You remember back there in Persia, when those three Hebrew children was in that fiery furnace, and God, you saw a fourth one like unto the Son of Man. That was Jesus in there, brought those three Hebrew children out of there. But you see, it couldn't burn them. And couldn't burn them because Jesus was with them. That's the reason why. So, hallelujah! So then, praise God, all through all blessings flow. He took a coal. Jesus took a coal. Says, "Open your soul mouth." He says, "Open your mouth. Put out your tongue." And He put a coal off the altar right on my tongue. And He said, "Swallow it. You'll need this when you go back to the earth." He said, "You'll have to have the fire in you." And I'll tell you, I've been under the anointing ever since. Under the anointing night and day ever since. Been under the anointing all the time. My mind every moment is on heaven. I used to love to hunt fish, all those kind of things, ride horses. But I put it all aside. And under the anointing, every minute with God. Every minute. Every minute. That's right. Every minute. Not every morning, but every minute. Not every night, but every minute. That's the difference. Every minute with God. Then Jesus said, "You want to see where the garments are being made? You know they got a factory in heaven where they're making the garments, your wedding garments. Producing wedding garments. You've got the Holy Ghost. It is a part of the wedding garment, but there is literally thousands of angels in there with fine needlework, and it's in the Bible, making this fine needlework, and they are making these garments to go on you when you come to the rapture and the wedding supper of the Lamb. We brought out for you to wear." And after the wedding garments on Jesus, then we saw the great record place. This record place was so big, where all the records are kept. Every hair upon every head is numbered and put in that record. Every idle word is kept in that record place. Every spoken word is in there. But when the judgment is over, God's going to push that record all out in the sea of forgetfulness. It's plain to me, and there'll be no more records of this earth whatsoever. None. No more records of this heavenly place. It'll be all forgotten there. Just a little while of crime for those that didn't make it up here, up there. And you'll forget everything. There'll be everlasting joy forever and ever. Then, after seeing that beautiful record place and all of those wonderful realities, then he took me in to the banqueting house. And we stood on top of the city four square, Jesus, and also Elijah's chariots, and heaven's full of chariots. You've got a chariot in heaven. Don't need any gasoline to ride in it. Don't need a horse to pull it. But you've got a chariot to ride all around God's heaven. Can you imagine a place 2 million miles around it makes it 80 times larger than the earth? Can you imagine how big it is inside? And riding in that chariot all up around the throne of God and everywhere, everyone's going to be issued a chariot. And it looks a lot nicer than that limo out there. It's beautiful. Doesn't need any gas or chauffeur. Johnny will have one of his own. Riding all over God's heaven. We were on that chariot and we came down. When you think of distance now, of the top of the city four square, when I'm thinking about going to the banquet house, I'm not talking about something just a few feet below. I'm talking something 10,000 miles from the top of the city four square and go down in the chariot into the banquet house. And into that banquet house, just thousands and thousands of tables, and Jesus disappeared. And when I got down there, he was sitting at the head table. We're all sitting in the banquet house, eating. He took me into the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. And love, the word love in God's language, and I could read it up there, was all over the tables. And that banquet house was full of fruit. And I was brought up to the head table of all things where Jesus sat. And then, praise God, through whom all blessings flow, every time I'd pick up a beautiful piece of fruit and eat it, another piece would come in its place. And I kept eating it, kept coming. My soul was eating at God's table. And it was no wilderness. He's given us many times a table in the wilderness. You see, I'm a peculiar fellow because I've lived among the Indians. I've got on some funny Indian ways. They're all good. See, my Indians, they believe what I'm telling them. And they believe it. And they have experienced a lot of the things that I've experienced. After going through the banquet house, went out the other end. And we went back afterwards, city at the top, and Jesus said, I'm going to show you Percy eternity. Where will you spend eternity? And Jesus took me out to show eternity. Now the scientists and the astronomers and even the astrology said that there I've been over in the Middle East and sat among in the desert among the Arabs in my journeys, studying the stars with them. Saw a few stars, but I didn't see what I saw in the journey to heaven among these precious people eating lamb in the jungles, and sometimes there sitting out in that desert and that sand hitting you in the face. But I wanted to see what I could find. I've been in the countries of the world, but nothing like eternity. You could stand on New York on the top of that big building there. And look right straight across there and see San Francisco, and it'd be nothing to what is in heaven with the eyes that God gives you. I want you to believe, to try to begin to fathom with your earthly mind how big heaven is. Then he took me over to the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are open. Blessings are falling tonight. And it's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. He gave me, but you see, I saw eternity. So there's windows in heaven. We got over to the windows. Can you imagine a window several miles wide? And the windows open. Jesus said, there's where my Father and I come from. That's where we come from to make this new heaven. This is the new heaven I was in. The old heaven's going to pass away. And they're bringing the oracles out of the old heaven and putting them in the new heaven. I was in the new heaven. Bringing the oracles out of the old heaven because the old devil messed that one up. And I wish he'd have went to some other planet instead of coming to this one. That old demon. I saw him in the jungles. Got to put this in. Saw him in the jungles. And he comes so beautiful through the jungle trails. And I discerned who he was right away. I said, he's pretty, pretty, pretty. Big earrings on that big. Pretty. And rings in his toes and rings in his finger. Boy, he was decorated all over. Always liked to imitate the beautiful women, that old fellow. And I says, lay down, devil. And he lay down. I took a dance and walked on the top of him. He'll give you a power over the enemy. Power over the enemy. Power. The power, the power. Victory over sin and the purity within. The power, the power, the power they had at Pentecost. The prophet Joel. The prophet Joel said this is that. But God chose Peter. That's right. There's a difference. I won't go in that. It's a difference between a rock and a stone. I won't go in that. I could preach a sermon on the rock and the stone. We're the lively stones. Peter was a stone. But Jesus was that rock that came rolling through Babylon. Hallelujah. Jesus is that rock. He's the rock of ages. Jesus is that rock. And he's in heaven. He come rolling through Babylon and everywhere he went. Everything got out of the way of Jesus. He can control everything. And praise the name of our God. He said, Percy, hold back. And he put hands on my soul eyes. Look out there a billion miles, he said. Look out there a billion miles. Looked out there and there was a lot more planets out there. There was beauty out there. There was big stars out there. I said, what's on those planets? He said, more of my creation. More of my creation. When you come back, he said, I'm going to take you for a trip out there, Percy. Oh, what a time that's going to be to take a trip out and among what God made way out there in eternity. You cannot comprehend by your earthly mind the greatness of God. My mind is expanded to the greatness of heaven, to a part of the greatness of heaven. I've sat down with all kinds of people from almost every nationality asking me about heaven. Every religion, I said religion, wants to know about heaven. The Chinese speak of the God of the heaven. The Japanese believe in heaven. Many in India believes in heaven, believes there's a heaven. Some believe that most everybody believes we have a soul. Some believe in incarnation, all that kind of thing. But you talk about heaven to anyone, and they'll be interested right away. They say, what did you see there? And they say, we see you sincere. I've talked to some of the educators of the world, and they all want to know about heaven. I sat down with an Indian gentleman. And he was a man that could look into one of these balls. And he could tell you something. Don't worry about that. Don't think he couldn't tell you something. And old Richard Ender could tell you something too. But he was a nice man. He said, oh, I want to know about heaven. I want to know about heaven. He pushed that ball aside, turned around his chair, and started talking to me in Cairo, Egypt. I talked to Sadat. He wanted to know about heaven. I was visited some of the leaders of the world, and every one of them want to know about heaven. So I'm on my way to tell them about heaven all over the world. Hallelujah. Yes, friends, and we are going to get this message of heaven all over the world. We're going to put it in the different languages of the world. These people that I've met in different places want to know about heaven, and the only way to get it to them is to put it in writing and also send these tapes to the different parts of the world. We're going to send them. We're going, without a question, have this message of heaven into every language under heaven. Already, we've negotiated for several different languages. Already, we're negotiating with Italy to get it into Italy with a gentleman, and into Spanish, and even into Russian, Chinese, and all the languages of the world, because it's necessary. The leaders want to know about heaven. And when the leaders know about heaven, it will be absolutely without a question going into the people themselves. And as the people themselves find about heaven, it'll get souls saved. Our work is to get souls saved to the glory of God, and we can do it. Can you realize by the saving of souls what, praise God, that it does? It causes a reaction, praise God, in their lives, that they might know there's a real heaven. We want to get this in there. May God bless you is my prayer, that you'll do your best to support this great work in the name of Jesus our Lord. How wonderful our Lord is. And I want to say this, that you can absolutely, without question, know that we're doing our best to get it. We're obeying God. And when we obey God, He's going to tell us that we're doing the right thing. So you pray with me that we get this into all the languages of the world, and God will bless you. This is Dr. Percy, Dr. Calais, preaching to you. May God bless you in the old-fashioned way. And God love you. God, praise God, bless you forever and ever is my prayer. And I know that it's going to pay. It's going to give us joy, going to give us peace, give us happiness, make people happiness. So know there's a heaven, and there is a real heaven in Jesus' name. The promenade, three rows of mansions, big. Bigger than anything that's on this earth, better than Buckingham Palace, or the old Kaiser's place in Berlin, or the Taj Mahal in India, or the great building in Pakistan that I went there, or the place, the buildings of the world, I visited a lot of them before I went to heaven, but nothing compares and touches the beautiful mansions in heaven that God is preparing for His saints. Just think of that. Brother Hayes, can you think of something being built for us, for the soul winners? So glorious and so big by Jesus.